Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, we live life in stages, right? Like childhood, school, careers, raising families. And eventually we reach that final frontier that most of us will experience, which is called retirement. Now, retirement doesn't have to be scary or uncertain. With some solid planning and a little attention to detail, the road to retirement can actually be pretty smooth. So today we're going to talk about the different stages, what they are, and how to navigate each one of them like a pro.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker's here. My name's Steve Siddall. Kevin's been helping folks for, well, for more than 30 years, helping folks getting to and through retirement. And what I find interesting, Kevin, hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Good to be here, Steve.
So what I'm saying, what I find interesting is whenever we talk, when somebody's been doing this as long as you have, and then you tell me that you still have clients that go back almost that far, that just speaks volumes.
Oh, you know what? I take a lot of pride in that. I really appreciate mentioning that.
I think you should.
And, you know, because I've still got clients that I've had from the 1990s. And, at that point I lived in Chicago. I've got a lot of clients from the Midwest. Now a lot of people have moved. But even when I moved, you know, I moved from Illinois to Arizona in 2011. Every one of my clients stayed with me. And I'm very proud of that. I feel that it's a statement of how they feel about the relationship. And
they
would rather work with me from 1,800 miles away than somebody down the street that they could just drop in their office and stop by and see them. And so I do make it a habit, and I try to make sure I fly out there at least once a year to see everybody, you know, in a different state. And I do that in a few different places now because some have went to Colorado, others to Florida, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got another one actually moving from outside of Tucson. She's moving to Milwaukee. And she asked me if I would
come
see her.
That's going the wrong way, isn't it?
And it is, I tell you. And, the good thing for her is she's doing it in July 1st, which is when it gets really hot out here.
Yes.
So for her first handful of months should be really nice. But no, she's well into retirement, and she's actually one of my clients that's going to one of the facilities, actually, that has independent living is where she's going now. She's 90. And this woman is she's awesome, man. She's still totally independent. She's completely cogent. You know, she knows what day it is, and she knows, you know, who's in office and whether for better or for worse. And she's up to speed on everything. She still golfs like once a week, although she plays 9 holes instead of 18.
You blame her?
I usually get tired of the game around the 13th hole.
Yeah, me
too. You know, so I think that makes total sense. But no, she's great, and she's one that I helped, you know, look at the facility that she's going into, and one of them that I mentioned a few weeks back actually on the show.
Yeah.
Quick side note is Charity Navigator, and
exactly, yeah, I put that on my podcast too. So yeah, that's good stuff.
You know what, guys? If you have any charitable intentions, or in the case of these independent living homes, pardon me. Charity Navigator oftentimes rates them and follows them because they're legally classified as charities. So you can get a lot of information from a third-party source, right, that's independent. You're not getting a marketing pitch. You're not getting a sales pitch. It's not talking about how great we are because it's coming from a third party. So I really like Charity Navigator. I use it for my own charitable desires as well. And because what it does is it helps you find the charities that spend the money the way you want them to spend it, which is if you're giving to charity, you want it to go towards the cause, right?
Yes.
And you don't want it to go to enrich some family member or cousin or whatever that some superstar put on the board of their charitable foundation. So it's a great place to check it out. And by doing that, I was able to help her get comfortable moving there. And I think it's a good situation. And guys, quick side note, the difference between independent living generally is let's say $4,000 to $5,000 a month. And then if you go up to assisted living, that usually jumps to $6,000 to $7,000 a month. And then the third one, or the memory care, that is in the $10,000 to $12,000 a month range. And the problem from a financial perspective, when you're trying to help somebody plan, can they afford? Because the question is, can I afford this, Kevin?
And, that is the question.
Right? And that's the question. And so you create these spreadsheets, right, where you do these projections. But then you're in an impossible situation because you have to somehow project how many months she's going to be in independent living, how many months in assisted living, how many months in memory care, or is it years in memory care, or is she never in memory care? And so that's how it becomes virtually impossible to figure it out. And so what I liked, I did read through the contracts, I read through the paperwork, now they call it a buy-in. A lot of these places have buy-ins, which I don't care for, to be honest, but that's how a lot of them are functioning, and there's a lot of geographic areas where that's pretty much how all of them operate. And so what it is a little deceiving with the title, because you're not actually buying an apartment or a condo. What you're doing is you're writing them a check, let's say for $200,000, and they're going to take your $200,000. And then depending on the agreement you sign up for, that's what's going to determine how much of that money your family, your beneficiaries, are going to get back when the person passes away. And in most cases, you can get back 80 to 90%. If you're willing to accept paying the cost of each individual stage, regardless of what it amounts to. However, at this place, which has been around a long time, they give you an option that if you're willing to let them keep 70% of the buy-in, they will never raise your price, except for food, regardless of which level you're in. So to me, that offers a tremendous peace of mind,
yes,
knowing. Right, and the other thing that it does is they contractually guarantee that they will take care of you forever, even if you run out of money. And so,
oh, wow.
And
I mean,
so,
yeah, peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Come on, you're in your 90s.
Yeah.
You've lived a long life. The last thing that you want now is having to worry about what happens if you get sick and are you going to have trouble paying your bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's close to her family. She will be, not yet, but she'll be close to her family. She'll be living in a fantastic place, very highly rated, right on Lake Michigan, with tons and tons of activities. She told me they even have French and German classes. I said,
well, it's 90, I guess.
I said, go for it, And they got theater rooms and all sorts of stuff. And so it's a very nice place. And I think she's in great shape to be able to do it. And I went through the numbers. I went through the contracts. I talked to the people at the facility to try to get my feel for it, to make sure it wasn't going to be something that she regretted.
Sure.
So I'm glad to say it all worked out. It took a few months to do more than that, actually, to do the research. But there's a lot of resources out there, guys. I also mentioned a while back, I co-wrote a book on long-term care. And so I do have some background in that area. If you'd like to talk about it, or if you have someone in your family that might be contemplating this, feel free to give me a call. I'll be happy to tell you what we learned and how you might want to approach it.
You can call Kevin at 800-975-6717. That's the number, 800-975-6717. Or you can also visit the website silverleaffinancial.com. Silverleaffinancial.com. You can connect with Kevin right there. You can send him an email. You can actually get on his calendar from the website.
Yes.
And that book, by the way, The Millionaire's Guide to Tax-Free Money for Long-Term Care, that is a must-get. I mean, folks, if you're anywhere near that, grab that book.
Get the book, and I can show you how you can at least save the taxes, right? and use, you know, pre-tax money to pay for it. And you know, not every facility operates the one that I described a couple minutes ago, but they are out there. And so what's important is to figure out what's most important to you and to your family. I definitely recommend having the family members involved, in particular the beneficiaries, okay? Because mm-hmm. you don't want them thinking they're going to get 200 grand back and they only get 60, all right?
Right.
So have those conversations, and then it also puts everybody on the same side of the table. Everybody's interests are aligned. Everybody wants mom and grandma to be comfortable and to be safe and to be taken care of with as little stress as possible.
Sure.
And so once you get to that point, we're good. We're all in agreement. Everybody says, hey, it's peace of mind. Let's take it. So so getting back to what we talked about earlier, the different stages of retirement. And
can I ask you one thing first?
Sure, sure.
So with this woman, 90 years old, you're helping her. You did a lot of the heavy lifting to find her a place. That's above and beyond, Kevin. That's fantastic. I mean, that's the kind of guy you are. I'm just saying it.
Hey, no, I really appreciate that. And you know what? I don't want to take credit for finding the place because they found a different one first. And I looked at that one and I said, yeah, I think you could do better. And so then they looked around a little bit more and we found this place. So yeah. I helped them to find the place for sure.
Sure.
And by the way, and this isn't so everybody knows you shouldn't have to pay extra for this. If you have a financial advisor and they want to nickel and dime you and charge you extra money for something like consulting on a retirement home for your mother, just fire them, okay?
Yeah.
Just fire them, okay? You don't have to do that. You're paying them a good amount of money already. They can help you figure this out. They have the expertise. And that's what I do. I don't charge anything extra for these things. I'm happy to consult and give you my opinion on anything financial, whether I'm going to profit from it or not. It's not about me profiting on that. It's about me just trying to help you, you know, live the best life you can and to get to where you want to be, whether it's financially or in a comfortable facility. And so I was happy to do it. And I had phone calls with the administrators and the managers at the place.
Wow,
and,
cool.
And they sent me their financials. I got their financials too. So if you have an advisor, they should be happy to help you out with anything financial. And if they're not, then perhaps you need to find somebody that could give you a little more assistance.
Sure. Well, I agree with that. All right. So we were talking about the stages of retirement and that story leading into it. What a cool way to begin. That's very cool.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's true. Real life story.
Yeah, and, that's what I mean. I like it.
You know, and she asked me, she goes, well, I know you came down to see me in Tucson, but are you going to come to Milwaukee? I said, you know what? Milwaukee's not any farther from my clients in Chicago than you are from me out here in Arizona.
Sure.
You know, because I go to Northern Illinois, as I said a few minutes ago, to see my clients there, and that's an hour and a half, 2 hours from Milwaukee. It's not a big deal.
No.
So I'll be going to see her later on this summer.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this goes back to her as well. We talk about the stages of retirement. It starts with the plan. And clearly,
yes.
She's been with you a long time. That plan has gone through the stages. And I mean, pretty exciting times.
It is. It is. And you know what's real nice is when you go through the numbers and you look at the expenses and you look at how much she has invested and how much she's making, I can tell her, you know what? Yes, you can afford this. And don't worry about it. You're fine. You're good. You've got enough money put away. I've got her. She's like 80% bonds, and I still wanted to have a little bit of more growth potential. But she's at an effective rate of 5 to 6%, and you know she's got sufficient cash that she can probably cover everything with just the interest. So I think it's if you find an advisor that you're comfortable with, they should be able to help you out with everything financial without charging you anything extra than their management fee on the accounts they manage.
Sure.
And I think that you'll find that when you have that relationship, it just makes things easier. You know, you can just give them a call when something comes up and says, hey, man, can you tell me what's this about? Right.
And
I've got clients every time they get a piece of mail, they call me up and say, what's this about? And that's fine. That's what I'm here for. So, you know, but the pre-planning, the pre-retirement, we call that
right.
The planning mode, right? And that's 5 to 10 years. We also call it the retirement red zone. You know, the period of time, 5 to 10 years before you're going to retire, you know, you're thinking about and dreaming about the freedom, the travel, the hobbies, who you're going to visit. And it's also when you're asking yourself, can I afford this, right?
Sure.
And so it's important that during this time, especially If you're eligible for any of these catch-up contributions on the 401ks, the IRAs, and the government just extended those, or I should say added to those, made them bigger for people 60 and above. So you should definitely max out your contributions. Try to eliminate your debt. A lot of folks say reduce your debt. I prefer to eliminate debt. Some people will tell me, hey, that's stupid. Well, you know, that to me, that's under the category of peace of mind. And the argument for being stupid is they say, you know what, I've got a 4% mortgage, and I can invest in the stock market and make 10%. I say, well, one thing you got to realize is that those stock market gains are not guaranteed. They're not assured. You're not assured of them happening every single year. You might go a decade without having a good return on the stock market. You could buy at the high, and it could take you 12, 13 years to get back to break even. If you go back to the year 2000 and look at the highs, imagine if you bought in the spring of 2000, you bought NASDAQ. It took you 13 years, guys, to get back to break even. So to me, I did pay off my mortgage. And, you know, I invest in the market. I've got money in the markets, too. I own a lot of the same investments as my clients do. And I think it's, for me, it was about peace of mind, because my philosophy is if you can get your monthly expenses as low as they can possibly be, it's going to be that much easier for you, you know, to have a functioning, comfortable retirement, because you're not on the hook to somebody else. You're not, yes. You're not making that banker rich, right? And why do you think the bankers are all worth billions, or at least hundreds of millions? It's because a lot of people are paying them, you know, 23% interest on the credit card.
Yep.
So I think eliminating debt is the best way to go. And that's what I would, strongly recommend you strive for. If you've still got a big house and all the, you know, your kids have moved out, maybe you should think about downsizing. Maybe you downsize, right? If you've got, if everything's paid for, you could downsize and add some excess money from equity to your investments. Or if you've got a mortgage, maybe you can downsize to the point that you can buy a home that's fully paid for and you don't have any mortgage. But I think it makes sense in a lot of ways, because a lot of people, they have a big house when they raise a family, but when they get in their 60s, they say, you know what, I don't really want to be cleaning this place as much and mowing this big lawn and cleaning the windows and paying the taxes. So,
right.
You know, so, and it'll save you money too. So that's what I would put on top of that list. So next you're going to go into retirement day, right? Some people call it the launch pad. You know, if I don't know how many people have the traditional retirement, which is, you know, you work until this particular day, then, you know, you have they have a party and a cake and the goodbyes,
yep,
and
sure,
all that good stuff versus kind of winding down. Because like me with my career, I'll be going from full time to part time, and I'll be doing part time for years and years and years. And so there's not going to be, you know, one day retirement when I'm 65 or something.
Sure.
You know, but you want to think of the retirement as a big life shift, right? Because when you do cross that, if you had a job where you're leaving every day at 8 o'clock and you're getting home at 6 o'clock or something, that habit is not going to be that way anymore, right?
Right.
And so it's a big, big shift. And so it's time to celebrate, but also you want to reassess and look at your routines and see where you're spending money, because now you're going into that honeymoon phase, we call it, which is in the 60s usually. And this is like the newlywed phase of retirement, right?
This is go, go, go. I want to spend money, and I want to travel, and I want to do all the fun stuff.
That's right. We call that the 60s the go-go years. We call the 70s the slow-go years, and the 80s are the no-go years. And that's what some people call it anyway.
Right.
And, you know, so this one, you know, you want to travel, right? Most everybody seems to want to travel. And I don't know about anybody else, but I find the travel experience much less enjoyable than it used to be. You know, I don't even like getting on a plane anymore, personally. I used to travel a lot in my 30s and 40s. But if that's what you're planning on, you want to make sure we incorporate it in the budget, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think average hotel rates are, what, $300 a night or something?
Not unusual, yeah.
You know,
I mean, if you're going to someplace decent.
If you're going someplace decent, right? If you want to stay, I mean, I've seen, there's a lot of Motel 6. Okay, maybe I shouldn't say it. There's a lot of lower-end motels.
Oh, there are, yeah. They're not cheap either, necessarily.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can't even get a low-end hotel for like $100 a night anymore.
No, you can't.
You know, so, and then when you add in the travel, if you stay at a nice place that's got the resort fees, that's another $50 a day. You know, so anyway, it's an expensive proposition, so you want to make sure you plan for it. But because you're planning on doing this, and these are your go-go years, you know, life can feel amazing, right? Because you're always traveling, you're buying new stuff, you're seeing the family, you're doing all kinds of great stuff, playing a lot of golf or maybe a lot of fishing. All right, but this is when it's important to keep an eye on your spending and not let it get out of control, because you can burn through that savings very, very fast.
Sure.
Right? So you want to track your spending. If you haven't already, and guys, I would recommend you do that before you retire. Way before you retire. Hopefully you did that back in your 30s or 40s. So that I like to ask people, because when I sit down with folks and I say, well, do you know what are your monthly expenses? You know, we used to call it, what's your monthly nut? The total right. amount of money you need to live and do everything you want to do every month. Do you know that number? And I can get a good read on somebody by how they respond to that question. Because if they sit back in their chair and they say, well, and then they start going through the different expenses, then I don't feel like it's as front of mind as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
In other words, I think ideally you could tell me immediately it's $5,300, $7,300, it's $27,000 a month, whatever the number is, right?
Sure.
I think you got to know it, right? You got to know it. And that's how we're going to be able to dial up a plan and figure out, you know, your investment plan. And then we can figure out your income plan, because we want to create income streams for you in the future that you can turn on over time. You know, let's say 3 years from now, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years from now, and so on, so that you have extra cash coming in to help offset inflation that we know is going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure we do that, and so that you don't have to, you know, maybe never end that honeymoon. However, the next phase is something called disenchantment, and this is a period, you know, that maybe you get a little bummed because, you know, the thrill fades, reality kicks in. Maybe you start to feel like you don't have that same sense of purpose you used to have. You know, you don't have the same routine. Now you've got a new identity. You know, maybe you identified yourself by your occupation. And so it can be stressful for a lot of people, which is also one of the reasons why we've talked in the past about how maybe consider doing a trial retirement. In other words, if you're in a position, you can take off 6 months, right? And mm-hmm. take a sabbatical from work, you know, if you can do something like that. Maybe try to live life like you would be in retirement. See what it feels like. See, do you have enough activities to keep you busy? Are you bored? You're not going to want to sit around and watch television all day, I don't think. You know, so whatever you do is going to cost money, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might feel the lack of purpose, but you're really just going through an adjustment period. And so that's really all it is. It's a phase that people go through, a lot of people go through, but you'll get through it. It's just a readjustment, a reorientation, if you will. And so this is when you begin to build a new normal. You know, you find a purpose, you find a structure. Maybe you start volunteering. Maybe you start doing some part-time work. Maybe you go to Walmart and you're a greeter at Walmart. You know, whatever
yeah, sure.
it is, bring in some money, right? You know, you can go be a hotel worker in California. I think it's next year or the year after, and they've got a minimum wage of $30 an hour.
Holy cow!
$30 an hour. The LA City Council just passed that. For service. I don't know why they isolated hotels, but it's hotel and service workers. It's not every worker, and
right.
I don't know why that is, but that's what they did. And it's supposed to be timed with the Olympics that are going to be in LA in the next couple of years. So
uh-huh.
anyway, my point is the minimum wage is a lot higher now than it was when I was growing up. So
yeah.
I think my first job I got $2 an hour.
Yeah, I remember somehow a buck and a quarter. That goes way back. But
yeah, you know, so it's crazy. But you know, once you find your new normal and you get reorientated, then I think, you know, a lot of people report higher happiness. They feel better, kind of like they found themselves. You know, they
right.
find their new self, if you will.
Right.
And you got a structure, you got a routine. And that's the thing that I am. Like I always tell everybody, I'm very much a creature of habit. And whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And I use the example of a gym. If I generally work out 3 times a week. I go Monday, Wednesday, Saturday every week. And if I change that, it becomes just so much easier. If I skip it a couple times, it just becomes so much easier to just keep blowing it off.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I stick with it, then I feel guilty when I don't. Maybe that's my Catholic upbringing. I don't know. But I actually feel guilty if I don't go.
Right. No, but I think that's normal.
I think it's normal, and so what I say is find habits that you're comfortable with, find things you like doing that can benefit you, hopefully physically and mentally,
right?
And then just stick with it, right? And I think you'll find it very rewarding. And so there's also a lot of stats out there, guys, about, you know, like if you want to look at your current situation, look at your social situation. Who do you hang out with? Who do you talk to? Who do you socialize with? Are these all people from work? In other words, is that going to change when you stop going to that office or when you stop going wherever it is you go? You stop going to the plant or the building that you work out of. If all of your friends are at work, are you going to maintain those relationships after you stop working? And because the other thing that I found that the way people, you know, you meet people through your work, you meet people through your kids, like you meet your kids when they're growing up, you meet their parents and you go to schools and you meet people there. And a lot of people meet people at a church or a religious organization. So if you're not involved with those, as an older retired person, chances are you're not hanging out with your kids' parents, right? So you've got to find a way. You got to find a way to make those social connections. With me, it's the gym. That's what I like to do.
Well, I'll tell you, my sister retired. It's probably 7, maybe 8 years ago, and she complains now that she's busier now than she was when she was work. How did she have time to work?
Oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I hear that.
But that's fantastic, right? I mean, that's good.
It is. I just had a woman, one of my clients earlier this week, told me. You know, that she's been so busy and the entire next month she's just swamped and just, you know, has no time. And, you know, she's been retired for years. And I've got a lot of people say that, you know, and that's good because that means you found things to keep yourself busy that keep you entertained, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's great because I know my father couldn't sit still for more than 10 minutes.
Sure.
And he was one of these workaholic guys, you know. And when he retired, he put an ad in the local, they moved to a retirement community in Florida. And he put an ad in the local community paper that he would be a handyman. And his handyman services include cutting your lawn, trimming your trees, fixing or repairing something that's broke around the house, as well as being your personal chauffeur if you need somebody to give you a ride somewhere, like to a doctor's office.
He's all in one, man. He was doing some service there.
I tell you what, he covered a lot, and he could do all, you know, he's one of those guys that can fix anything and all that. But that's what he did when he was retired. He retired in his early 60s, and he did that for about 15 years. And he lived on his own until he was 90, when he unfortunately fell and broke his hip. So, you know, so I think it's and it brought in extra cash, obviously, too. And it gives you a social outlet, right? Because he's meeting different people. So I think that's a great way to do it. You know, so when you do get to that stability stage, you know, that's when you're in your new comfort zone. Life feels balanced. Life feels good. You've settled in. You've got predictable finances, you know your numbers, the routines are set, and you're enjoying life. And so I think that phase can last for decades, hopefully with good health. And, you know, so just think about retirement as a journey, right? It's not a one-time event. You're going to constantly, you should be readjusting or at least taking a look to see if you need to readjust as you go through retirement. And just know that everybody moves through the different stages at a different pace, you know, like most things in life, right? And prepare early, right? Like they used. What was one of the things before you cut it? My woodshop instructor: measure twice and cut once.
That's right. That was the one. That's a good one.
Measure twice, cut once. And same thing. I'm going to say with retirement planning, maybe measure 5 or 6 times to make sure.
And be flexible.
And be flexible for sure. Yes. And so. I'm very much looking forward to retirement. You know, for me, I am planning. I will be working part time for my first many years of retirement. You know, so I think it's important to come up with some sort of a plan, envisioning what you are going to do on a day to day basis.
And again, that's what my sister did, and she her priority is the garden.
Oh yes.
So but it's her priority is the garden even in the winter. She lives in Duluth. But I mean it's this constant process of just getting ready, well then there's the grandkids of course and then
oh, yeah.
you know.
There
I mean,
you go.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, a lot of people love to garden. I know my mother did too. My dad as well actually. And you know they had the classic green thumb, you know, and could grow anything. As opposed to, you know, I can't fix everything and I can't grow everything, but
yeah, I'm not there either.
I didn't, you know, those traits didn't pass along to me. You know, but, I think that it's important, you know, that you have an idea and you explore it, you try it out, you check it out rather than just jumping into the deep end all at once. Right.
Yeah.
And I think once you do that and you go through those steps, you'll find you can have a very healthy and happy retirement. So, you know, on different news, let's just break off for a minute. There's been several shows that I've talked about cryptocurrencies. Last week and a few weeks earlier, I was talking about gold.
Right.
And I am adding to my – I have been adding to my positions in Bitcoin. I own Fidelity's Bitcoin. I own iShares Bitcoin as well as the Grayscale Mini Bitcoin Trust.
But do you own Fartcoin?
Oh, God. You know what? I couldn't believe they actually put out something like that. No, I don't.
No. Well, who does, really? I don't know.
It's not
worth a darn thing. I looked it up. It's worth, way less than a penny.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. You know, anybody can create one, just like, you know, the president's family created one. And anybody can do it. The Dogecoin that, you know, somebody created that was supposed to be a joke, it was supposed to be like a doggy coin.
Right.
That, you know, it doesn't mean they can't make money. But you could also lose a lot of it, too. Just be aware, there's a lot of cryptocurrencies out there. I own Bitcoin. I also own some Ethereum. Those are the two biggest ones to my knowledge. And Bitcoin hit a record high this week, 111,000.
Wow. Who would have thought that?
Well, I tell you what. I at first was very skeptical because the problem, it's very difficult to figure out how valuable Bitcoin is, right?
Yeah.
But what it looks like to me is, in particular for younger generations, they would rather buy Bitcoin than gold. And the reason I'm buying them are hedges against the U.S. dollar. I think this week that Congress, the House passed what the president calls this big, beautiful bill. Guys, with all seriousness, he's serving a steaming pile of dog crap and he's calling it a steak. Okay? Pay attention to what you're getting here. All right. This is, in my opinion, this is going to lead to a fiscal nightmare down the road. They're banking on it and pushing it, saying it's going to lead to higher growth. If the United States can achieve at least 3% GDP growth consistently for the next several years, then it might work. I'm just very skeptical we're going to be able to get there. And I think what we're seeing with Bitcoin, going back to that, investors are going into it as an alternative to the U.S. dollar. Okay. Because other nations around the world are seeing the mess that our government has created here, and each administration, all right? The first Trump administration put tons of debt on the balance sheet. The Biden administration put tons of debt on the balance sheet. And the Trump administration, second time, is doing it at even a faster rate. Even faster rate. They added over $1 trillion to the deficit in the first 6 months. So this bill that they're passing is supposed to add $4 trillion to the debt. It's going to put us over $40 trillion. And the other thing to realize is that the last several years, interest rates, the interest on our massive mountain of debt was 1% or 2%. Now it's up to about 3.15%. And a lot of the older debt is coming due, right? They just had a bond auction this week. It was a terrible reception. The people did not want to buy it. And there's a lot of speculation that foreign investors are pulling back on their investments in the U.S. because our representatives keep running at a deficit. Guys, it's credit card spending. They're spending more every day than we take in. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. So that's why the bond market is going, bond interest rates are going higher. And that means interest expense on the national debt is going to go higher. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm saying, let's try to make as much money as we can so that whatever happens to the U.S. dollar, and whatever happens to inflation, that you're okay to deal with it. One of my best investments has been Bitcoin. But it is not for the faint of heart. You could lose it all, guys. It's speculative. But there's a limited supply. And what I'm looking at are institutions around the world adopting Bitcoin, corporations adopting it as part of their balance sheet, central banks reducing U.S. dollar reserves, adding to gold, and some of them are buying Bitcoin. So I believe that's a trend that's going to continue. If you think our government is going to keep on borrowing more than we make, then to me those are good bets for the next several years. And so that's why I own those, because I think we're going to have a debt nightmare here, and I believe that gold and crypto, specifically Bitcoin, could possibly do very well in that environment.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio X-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.